This is the DMT 1-to-1 show, episode 41, on the 26th of December 2013. An interview with Benjamin Schogler, creative director at Scoob Music. Hello everyone and welcome to the DMT 1-to-1 show, and it's a real pleasure this week to welcome Benjamin Schogler, who's creative director at Scoob. So hi Benjamin, and great to have you on. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. It's nice to be here and nice to have an opportunity to chat.
Absolutely. So I've been interested in the Scoob as soon as I saw the press release about it going on sale at the Apple Store. But the story of the company is quite a bit longer than just this year. So do you want to start by telling me how the project came together and when it started out?
Yeah, so the Scoob is, I suppose, the end result of a very long period of research and work that's been going on across the UK and across the world, actually, into music and education, and trying to think, you know, how can we get more children engaged in making music early on, and specifically children with disabilities or young people who face barriers to making music. Because, you know, everyone agrees across the globe that more kids should be being more creative in education, particularly doing music specifically. But then, you know, musical instruments, you have to learn how to play them, and they can be complicated. And we got involved at a point where we were working with children with or young people with disabilities, and how can you get them involved in making music if they're not physically able to, say, hold a flute, or they don't have the coordination and control to be able to bow a violin? And so we managed to raise some funding from Nesta in 2006 to go out, work with schools, work with young people, work with teachers to try and go back to the drawing board a little bit and see if we could create a new type of instrument or interface that would allow people who can't make music via traditional means to be able to engage and play and be creative and start engaging in making music. And one of the key things about this project that is different from many others is there was a mandate from Nesta on three fronts. One was that we had to cover as wide a range of ability as possible. So this meant going sort of through a more applying principles of universal design. We are trying to create something that can be used by everyone, or as wide a range of people as possible, that includes people with disabilities but doesn't then exclude others as a result. Sure, so you're not making something specifically using eye tracking for someone who's a quadriplegic, or, you know, there's lots of different specialized technology, but this was about making something more general. The second was that it had to afford expressive potential for performance. So there are things you can use with switches to trigger sounds and use things, you know, which you can be expressive with, and it's quite skillful. But they meant on the expressive front, more akin to playing an acoustic instrument where you have physical control of the timbral shaping and quality. Right. And the third thing that they said it had to afford educational development. So it had to be something you could get good at, that you could, you know, play with other people, and you could, you know, learn and grow with as an instrument. And so we spent the 2 years embedded in schools and play awards and all kinds of various places across the UK, working with people in a kind of participatory design project, which at the end of which we had something like this. We had one of the prototypes, which is a soft, squeezable USB interface. It's a cube, a simple interface, a simple shape, with its own software platform that we then, between 2008 and 2010, we then went out to raise the money to try and get it manufactured and marketed. Yeah. And then we launched it in 2010. And since then, it's been shipping all over the place, mostly in the UK, are the main user base. But we do have quite a few in Australia, Hong Kong, States, across Europe, you know, bits and pieces here and there. And it's being used in a range of contexts, from early years and special needs, orchestral performance, music therapy, or just electronic musicians interested in trying a different approach.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the process of understanding how to create the instrument as well. So how did you how did you get to the idea of the cube with the sensors, and so how do you develop also the sensitivity aspects of it? It seems very accurate and very tactile on the front.
I mean, the key thing for us right from the start was the we knew we wanted to work with physical modeling as the synthesis engine.
Yeah.
So that we had really high quality, you know, sounds that you could get in and control. And the whole tactile nature and the cube thing all came from working with individuals. And so we worked with lots of different sensors and sensor technologies. And, you know, at the time when we were working, you know, we had just come out and people were hacking that and doing things. And that was great. But with this, as soon as we started embedding sensors within a tactile, deformable material, something that is soft, it really was engaging. And that is because as human beings, we are drawn to and designed to touch tactile things. You know, we are soft. You know, flesh is this is what we're made of. And that's actually what we're made to interact with. And so it's a very natural thing. And that's why squeezy things make you want to squeeze them, okay? It's a very kind of, you know, fundamental kind of perceptual thing. And so that was the kind of driver there. And then in terms of the shape and the form, we did begin working with spheres and things because a sphere is probably the most ergonomic form in terms of using your hands. But again, a lot of people we're working with or do work with, it's not necessarily about using your hands. It could be using your feet. It could be using another part of your body. You may not have hands. You know, these are things that you have to consider. And in that, what we wanted to do is to find a simple form that allowed a high level of control, which is delivered through the interaction of this kind of patented tactile technology with the physical models, which gives this kind of real tactile, tacit way of creating the sounds, which I can show you in a minute. But then trying to produce an interface that reduced the degrees of freedom enough to make it intuitive and simple to use as well. It's quite a difficult thing. And one of the things that we did in terms of looking at stuff is the idea of how many notes do you need at a time. So acoustic instruments have, you know, all of the notes that you can get out of them there all of the time, and you have to learn how to use your fingers, your breath, your lips, whatever it is, to get those notes out. And then you have to make choices about which ones to use at various points or which ones to use to play a tune with other people. So you don't need them all the time. It's nice to have them, okay, and that affords a flexibility and freedom. But with us, we said, well, how can we make a simple, robust, cognitively kind of resonant object that affords a degree of interactivity and complexity that allows you to be creative? And that's where we got to with the cube. The cube is a very strong form. And it works very well whether you have a visual impairment as well. These are other users of ours. So all the surfaces are orthogonal, which means they're all at right angles to each other. Okay, so it's very easy to know where I am on the cube. The raised domes, or they're not actually buttons, although they do look like buttons. They're like a guide, a target, a physical kind of call to action, if you will. They say, press me. They're like the big red button, you know. They're like, it does have a big red button. You can't see it on the other side here. And so that curved raised surface on a flat surface to your hand and to your body, to your mind, says press me, says touch me. And that's what it does. It makes you want to touch it. And so by using the cubic form, we can then divide it up into five surfaces. We could do six of it, but it needs to sit on its base. And that again is a way of, it's a skook has a degree of weight. It's weighted, so it knows if you're holding it, it will write. You know which way is up and down. You know, in terms of when you feel it, because at the moment this one is mounted just for the purposes of this presentation. But a lot of it can be played by moving it as well, and people play with it on the ground, on the floor, using it in different ways. And so it's this idea of trying to take looking again at what do you need from an interface. There's the acoustic instruments are constrained by the physics of the sounds you're trying to make. Whereas if you accept that you're going to use the computer as the sound source, then you don't have to, you're not bound by any of those rules. You don't need a keyboard to look like a keyboard. It's not making any, you know, electronic keyboard. It's not making any sound. So, you can go back to thinking, well, let's make something that's designed to invite touch so that it can be used by people who maybe don't have language. You're trying to access and work with in, say, in a musical therapy terms, or let's make something that's you know, accessible and makes sense to the hands of someone with a visual impairment so that it's easy to navigate, and work out where you are. And let's try and make something that offers a higher level of control for people who want to then take that forward and play. And, you know, music, another thing about music is, I adore music, it's kind of my life, but the better quality of sound that you have, you know, the more access to sort of expressive variation things, the more fun you'll have, the more engaging it will be. And so, I mean, I've had fun making music with a cowbell. It's awesome. But then if you get two cowbells, you're like, hey, that, you know, that's even better. And, you know, as you broaden things out, you get to play with different sounds. Like, wow, that's just, you know, that's where the creativity happens. That's where you can engage people and have fun. So that was the process of kind of trying to think slightly differently about, you know, well, if the computer is making the sound, then what can we do with the interface to make it more usable and make it friendly, you know, and a degree of, you know, cognitive simplicity, saying, well, I've got these five surfaces. They each make a different sound. Okay, that makes sense. So how can I use that? The question now is, I suppose, how can I use that to play music?
Yeah.
And that's where the kind of software platform we have comes in, which is here. So the software allows you to set this up to be used in lots of different ways. So essentially, you have your Skoog software. It's Mac and PC. We support Windows users as well. And the software offers quite a range of flexibility. So if I want to set the notes on each surface,
yeah,
it comes with a bunch of preset pentatonic scales.
Oh, great.
It doesn't have to be, but that, in the educational context, and I'll show, maybe if I could show a little clip of a video of how it's being used. Essentially, so you can change the notes. So here I've got a little C major, C minor scale. Okay. And it's important to note the Skoog that the whole thing is sensitive.
Yeah.
So here I'm touching the top surface, which we sort of call the orange surface, denoted by the orange color. So it's sensitive everywhere in each plane. And this means that I can use the edges, I can use the buttons, I can play it with my chin.
Yeah.
I can play it, you know, I can, and we can customize the sensitivity, well, the user can, to create a sculpted sensitivity profile. So we can adjust the sensitivity by surface,
yeah,
so that you can create a very specialized profile that allows you to maybe play it, you know, when it's tucked into your body here, and you can play it by leaning and doing different things. So it's a really very customizable, a lot of functionality, and it makes it usable by lots of different people. Anyway,
sure.
Back to set the notes. So how this works. So we essentially say we choose it to be an instrument.
Yeah.
So in the physical modeling, here is where we choose notes. We've got a range of different instruments, and there's the core kind of brass, woodwind, percussion, and strings, because the original project was about creating something that would allow orchestral performance. And I've also got a clip of some recent orchestral work of a soloist working with an orchestra who actually performed as part of the 2012 Olympics.
Great.
The other year, which is interesting. So we've got, say, flute here. This is a flutter tongue flute where you have the flutter. You see, as I'm pressing, I've got a flutter. I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah.
And as I push through, I get the note. Other things with physical modeling is that I can, as well as blowing, I can control the embouchure, so I can put bends in,
yeah,
and control that. So it's kind of a really diverse kind of platform. Let's go back to kind of simple interface. More percussive instruments, like marimba, they respond to more percussive actions on the Skoog. And we can load up a plucked guitar here, so just give it a second to load the string in there. And
sure,
it'll do this thing. So here, got a plucked string. Now,
that's great.
As I say, we can then assign. So we choose it, and then we choose how the notes are set up. So
yeah,
we use pentatonic scales. Very simple. And they're really good at the teaching aspect for engaging people and being able to, and also to allow anyone to be able to start playing with music they like. So if you know what key it tunes in, you can load the right scale and just start playing along and start exploring your musicality. You know, and having fun playing with music. We can tune it as well, so you can tune acoustically, you know, so it's not stuck in computer tuning, but you can also set the notes manually. So here's the blue, here's on the D3. I click the padlock, open that up, click blue, change that. I can change it, so I can set the notes manually,
yeah.
So and then I can save them, and then we can load in sets of notes. So that's me saying, let's just load it in. Let's load something in. We can say Skoog resources. Let's do something that you might recognize. And we could do, here we go. This is a load in a set of notes for this. And now I have notes for tune by Journey, the 80s classic, and I can... And I can play that, so it's not a, you know, it really offers a range of different ways of playing. Another thing with notes, sorry, is five notes at a time. So for that reduces the kind of complexity of, say, being presented with a whole keyboard and having to make choices. But you can change those as you're going along. So you can either drag new note files in, which is what some people do in more complex compositions, or you could simply transpose the notes that you have into another key.
Yeah.
Which is quite easy to do. So there's different ways of playing. It's not, you know, it's not trying to be to replace the violin. You know, this is a different approach to making music. It's trying to say, well, let's try something new. And there's lots of different ways of playing it. So other key thing is it can be monophonic or polyphonic, okay? But one of the things is you can't play an opposing side.
Yeah.
So if I press these two together, I don't get anything, because it is the physical interaction with the foam that controls and drives the models.
Yeah.
So I can play up to three in the same kind of plane, but I can't play against myself. And there is a degree of exploration and learning with the Skoog. It is easy to interact with, but there's some fun bits of discovery, like discovering that the white bits make sound.
Yeah.
And this is really important for introducing a playful element to making music as well. And for some of our younger users, the fact that it is something that they can explore and find different things to do with, you know, off their own back is a really important thing.
Yeah.
But if I could just now very quickly, so you choose it to be an instrument, you then assign notes to the Skoog so you can play it. It will do MIDI and it will do sampling as well. Okay, so it isn't a MIDI controller, it's an expressive analog physical modeling controller, a tactile patented one, but it does MIDI as well. So we can actually send MIDI out of the software, and then essentially you have these five kind of MIDI kind of pads, as it were, that you can then assign to control connect to GarageBand, control the instruments in there, or to Cubase, or anything that will take a MIDI input software-wise.
That's awesome.
You can route to that, and we've got some interesting people playing with things there. And it has its own sampling engine, which has got some really interesting stuff in reference to the tactile control, which I think I should show you later.
So the sampler, in that case, I can see that it also has a record button. So, of course, in an educational context, you can also record samples on the fly and then have kids play with them, which is really good fun.
So, I mean, if you could just say your name for me.
Yeah, Andrea.
Oh, there we go. So let's get you say your name here.
Andrea.
I've got it. It's coming to the software. And I'm going to copy that to all. And I'm going to play. That's me using a kind of scrub function where I can control where the playhead is. So I could pitch that. I could make a little pentatonic scale with it and start to use it sort of as an instrument.
It's great.
So works really good with vocals, and different tones and found sounds. You can take really mechanical sounds and start to create a pitch palette with that, and really start to create kind of soundscapes and stuff like that, which has a lot of applications in the educational context as well. But it's just really a fun way of messing around with sounds and playing them and warping them, you know, and reusing them and trying to kind of, you know, do remixes and stuff. But going back to the kind of, I suppose, where Skoog began, it would be starting with some of the kind of different users. So we've got a range, well, I'll show you just four clips of users, and if I could just tell you what you're going to see, and then I'll play you a short clip of someone using it. So what I'll show you first is a young chap who represents a user group who are, say, young people in education. And this young man called Kieran, so he has, you would say, profound and multiple learning difficulties, which means he has both physical and cognitive challenges that he faces. He's at school. He doesn't, at this point, he doesn't speak, but he does communicate. You know, he communicates what he wants and whether he likes things. And in this clip, you're going to see him. What he's doing is he's playing with the Skoog. So it's been set up with a pentatonic scale. He's got a plucked guitar sound, which is one he chose, you know, which he liked and he responded to. And then by putting that in the right key for the piece of music that the teacher has on at the time, he's then able to play and express himself. And if you watch and listen to the clip, you'll see that he's beautifully in time and he's listening to the sounds. And one of the core things for him being, he's also completely blind. And so he's got his head up and he's engaged, and that's quite a a significant thing for him, and he's exploring touching the skook in different ways. So he starts plucking it and playing it first, and then he starts striking it. He gets a different timbral sound, and a different, you know, the instrument sounds different when he touches it in a different way, and that's because of the physical modeling. So it's not just triggering a sampled sound, it's not just triggering a kind of MIDI, you know, a strike. It's an interactive kind of generation between how the foam is compressed and how that generates the sound in the physical model. So let me just open this clip. So for someone like Kieran doesn't know how to play the guitar. He also doesn't know a great deal of music theory. He doesn't know what key the tune's in. But using the Skoog kind of presets, like the pentatonic scales, the teacher can set it up so that he can play with it. And by playing with it, he's able to make music. So it's a very direct kind of tool in that sense. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's really beautiful. Yeah, it makes sense to me as well, because I also have my girlfriend does a lot of work with kids and music teaching on that front, so it's definitely resonates with some of the work that she's done with kids on the autistic spectrum and stuff like that.
I mean, kids are musical. Kids have their own spontaneous musical culture. They sing and they dance without being taught how. And it's our jobs as parents and as musicians to inspire them and help them do more and support them in that. But when you find a situation where children have impairments or disabilities, sometimes they're cut off from that natural childhood musicality. And that natural musicality actually supports all of our development and how we learn and grow as young people. So if we can find ways of giving kids a route back in to being, you know, to making music by whatever means, then it's going to be, then that's kind of one of our kind of core things. So next, I just want to show you, moving on in terms of ability and in terms of applications. Okay, so this is an example of it being used in an orchestra. So this is a young lady called Stephanie Forrest here. You see in this clip, she has a skoog in front of her. And you can see, or you will see, if I open it out here, she's got music stands like everyone else. And she actually has, as opposed to improvising, she has a coloured score that looks like, I can actually show you her actual score. Let me do that. So it's a coloured score that looks like this.
Oh, cool.
Wait a minute. Started the wrong tune there. So it's a coloured score that looks like this that she's using. She's not playing that, she's playing another one. And so using that, she is able to play with an orchestra and able-bodied peers. And she's actually the soloist in this. And this was a specific composition for this group of people. She's playing the clarinet solo for this piece called Technophonia. She has actually several solos to play in this. She's playing to really quite a high level and is now she's part of a group of musicians, and she's making her own music, and Skoog is part of that, which is great. You know, and so for her, you know, by using Skoog, you know, she's found the musician that she is, and supported in a variety of ways, and she's going on to make music and explore, you know, being a musician in the real world. She's 17 in this clip. She's actually 18 now, Stephanie. Right. If you were to close your eyes and listen to that, it wouldn't stand. You know, she doesn't stand out as being any different from any other musicians. It's just wonderful music played very, very well and performed to a high level. So that's an example. And so Stephanie has she's not at school anymore. When she was at school, she had regular Skoog lessons with Lewis here every week, like a normal instrument. And we actually now have councils up and down the country. So Aberdeen City Council is one who now offers Skoog alongside oboe, alongside cello, alongside flute, as an option for children who are in mainstream education, but who perhaps have a disability and are physically unable to use those types of instrument, but still want to learn music and take part in group music making activities, play in bands and on ensembles and all that kind of stuff. So it's about being inclusive and offering people the opportunity and, you know, to make music. And then, you know, some people will take that further and do different things, and some will just enjoy it for the experience that it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so third now. So this is an example in a mainstream school, like the thing I was talking about with, say, Aberdeen City Council, where you have two young people who are included within the school. Martina here on the left has cerebral palsy, but she has no learning difficulties. So for her, the barrier she faces is purely a physical one, and the school can be, allows a way around that. It's a very usable device and can be customized with sensitivity and things. And Rosie has a more global developmental delay. And so for her, she finds the music theory side a bit difficult, and she finds using traditional score difficult. So she has a coloured aid here, in terms of the coloured indicators. And Martina has a traditional score she's using, and she's playing. And they're both playing as part of a mainstream assembly performance. And they're playing the bass guitar part for this whistle group. So we'll just let them play a few bars. So they're playing in unison. And they're playing with everyone else. So yeah. Steve, the teacher, he's set the right notes so they can play the part, and they have to read the music and play, with everyone else. But, they're able to be included and make music with everyone else.
That's great.
So that's another example. And then finally, if we just go... I just want to show you this last clip, which is of a great musician and a friend of ours, a young lady called Sam. Now, Sam is a high-functioning autistic girl. She's 18, 19, and she is a great musician. She's a singer. She's always sung, okay? And actually, she writes songs to help raise awareness of autism and how it helps her deal with, being autistic and making her way in the world. And this is just an example of Skoog being used just to be played for the sheer love of playing music and just as a fun, intuitive musical instrument.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's going to accompany herself playing the 80s classic by Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And she's just playing by ear. So we've seen improvising, we've seen playing with scores, we've seen, playing in bands. And this is how she's got the right notes to accompany her vocal. And she's just playing by ear, so she knows the tune well, and she's a great musician, and she's just sort of showing how she connects with music and plays. And the important thing is she's never had a Skoog lesson, and she's amazing. So I'll just let her play, and then we can talk a bit more about the software.
Great.
know, she plays on. So it's worth, you know, checking out the whole of that clip at some point.
Sure, definitely. I'll throw the links in the show notes if you have any links to those. It's great.
Hey, so it's this whole platform. So it's a combination of the tactile, user-centered object, you know, that is this kind of, okay, you know, this is nice and simple, which is connected to a high-end physical modeling engine and sampling a MIDI with lots of different functionality, lots of presets to help get you started. But then when you want to really explore and sort of go, well, you know, I'm you know, fine with Pentatonix, but actually what I want to do is play this specific melody or this nice riff, or I want to play the bass line to something or a keyboard part, you know, whatever it is, you can use the software to set the Skoog, so you can, you know, play the music you want to and explore, you know, being creative.
Yeah.
So the advanced software offers a range of sort of different interaction possibilities. So here you can adjust the sensitivity by surface, which allows you to really sculpt its kind of profile for how you want to use. Some people like to leave their hands on it, and where you kind of adjust the sensitivity so you can sort of almost tear it. So, you know, like on a scale where you take away the weight of your hands, so it's just your kind of interacting that's kind of changing it. We've got these twist tilt functions, which when I mentioned before, if we go back to say the flute here, and back to our software, I can turn that on here, and you can see it on this here, you can see where I'm twisting it. Yeah. It's actually changing the embouchure shape, and we can change the range of that and how that interacts with that variable and how that works across the whole thing. And different instruments have different possibilities there in terms of the brass we've got here. We've got it's one of the more sensitive models, actually. You can see I'm hardly compressing the foam at all.
Yeah.
And here I can change the lip tension and turn that on, so I can get really nice shaping and tone from it. It does, and I can add vibrato and all these different types of things. So the different instruments afford different possibilities. More percussive things are slightly less dynamic because, you know, they are percussive, so we can change things like the beta hardness to explore different tonality, you know, different kind of timbral possibilities.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, set the pitch and do that kind of thing.
And if you have if the instrument is set for a performance where, for example, you need two different sets of five, you know, of notes, would that be hooked up to MIDI and then you can change the notes that I've selected automatically that way? What's the best?
Normally, what we do is if you're using the physical model, say, then and you're wanting to have different patterns of notes, then go in here. So in terms of loading a set of notes, you would create the note file beforehand. And where's my desktop? There it is. And Skoog resources, here we go, note files. And just so we could, you would just drag in a note file here.
Great.
And it changes it. And then when you move to your next part, you would just drag in your next one.
Great.
And it would do that. And then you, and vice versa. Or, you know, if you were, some people use the transpose slider to kind of change key.
Yeah.
You know, if you're holding a melody shape or something, move to a different part, and then you change key that way. So that's an easy way of doing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's so cool. And like, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about, you know, have you guys also thought of applying the Skoog to also non-musical actions performed on a computer, like when it comes to interacting with a machine?
Yes. No, we are looking at, so we've been focusing on music.
Of course.
That's been our kind of our drive and our goal. And everyone in the company is involved in music in some ways. So David, who's the co-founder and co-inventor of Skoog, David Scalina, is a, you know, musician, and our musician, he's a musician and a physicist. So he has a program. He has an understanding of all the physical models and the depth of knowledge there. I'm a musician and a psychologist, and that's where in terms of the applications and the design and how it functions and stuff. And then we have a team around us that help us and people that do the programming and stuff, and everyone's involved in music. So that's our kind of core thing. But we do get asked about, you know, using it as a controller for other things.
Yeah.
And we're looking at that at the moment, and what we're relying on in that sense is the feedback from the community. So there's a few things that we're working on that people have specifically said, you know, it'd be great if we could use it for this, you know, simple cursor control and stuff, or interacting with a particular program.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, we're a small company, we need to focus our development efforts, and if we go off on a tangent thinking, oh, it'd be really great if we used it to do something that maybe we wanted to do, then it may not be what the community wants. So, I mean, if it was down to me, all of the resources would all be just sort of Nordic jazz, because that's what I'm into. But, you know, not everyone's into that. So, you know, we have to rely on people asking us things, you know, and we try and cover as many, you know, we try to support the users that are out there using it and that want to use it. So, you know, we and they're good. I mean, our community is responsive, and they do ask for stuff, and we try and respond.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things about it being a combination of software and hardware. You know, you do get devices that, you know, integrated in themselves, and they have all the sounds and stuff, and that's fine, and they're great. But because this has a the software is a big part of it, and the software can be changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, the physical form of this is locked, and, you know, people are asking us, you know, are we going to make more complex shapes or change these things? And, you know, we're thinking about all the different ways that we can have fun with this, but, you know, we have to focus. The cube is a strong form, and it does cover a lot of bases, this idea of trying to cover a wide range of people. But, we, you know, we hope to be able to create more fun things. Yeah. But the software can be changed. It can be updated. So we can add functionality, we can, you know, or we can refine functionality as we go along, and that's a real strength of it as a package as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about accessibility as well, you know, I know you work with a lot of charities and across the UK especially, and so if somebody and of course I have to mention that if somebody was interested in the Skoog, the price point at the moment is still quite high, so it's about £500 at the moment, because of course it is being used a lot in educational settings, and so a lot of schools, of course, it's not a big deal to purchase it.
Well, it is. I mean, it's £500, which is that is how much it costs. It does incorporate a lot of high end patented this tactile
absolutely
interface, and it has its own bespoke software platform that supports a whole range of activities and has lots of resources that comes with it. I mean, if you think of something like, you know, there's other things out there, like say a basic monome will come in at $500, say, or more. And there you have to, you know, it's a switchband pattern. You have to look, you know, you have to get the software patches to work with it. And, you know, it doesn't come sort of ready to play as an instrument, as it were, whereas it has all these presets where it's just ready to go. And it supports you using it, whether if you don't have, you know, music tech knowledge. It's something like the Eigenharp Pico, which is lovely. You know, that's a really expressive, really dynamic controller. But they start at £500 and perhaps don't have the interactive, accessible kind of platform that this provides.
No, I mean, I completely understand the price point. I was just going to ask, like, if you have, for example, a comprehensive list of who is perhaps allowing children that have issues to access the instrument, in case they were interested in trying it out, because that'd be quite cool.
Yeah, well, what we do is, I mean, what we advise people to do is to get in touch with your local music service.
Great.
So the music services across the UK and Scotland, all many of them have have Skoog, or they have access to, or they know about us, and, you know, we offer loans, and, you know, we can get stuff to people to see, you know, because sometimes it's also a matter of a lot of our users, they just want to try, you know, the school's like, well, let's see how it works with these people, and then they maybe use it with lots of different people. So we advise people to get in touch with their music service, or they can contact us directly to see if there's someone in, you know, it, you know, do our schools have these, you know, can we get access to them? So, you know, you can just get in touch with us through the website, and we can provide that information.
That's great. And of course, for people around the world, I know that if parents that have kids with disabilities or with learning difficulties, they often have, you know, large groups of parents that, you know, have the same problems or are in groups where they sort of have kids play together. So I'm sure that it would make that cost much more affordable if a number of parents are looking at purchasing this as a group. You know, it becomes
definitely. And the thing that we offer is that the Skoog itself, you know, is a device, and it has a roaming, the software license is a roaming site, a roaming license for the software. Yeah. So it can be downloaded and installed in different locations. So it doesn't have to, it's not just one install onto one machine. You could use this on one machine, and then I could go to a school and download the software over there and use that same device with that software. So it does offer that flexibility. In terms of international, it now has, the software is available in English, French, Italian, German, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Awesome.
And it also has the user guide in another 15 languages, you know, across Europe, and with Arabic and Russian as well. So, you know, we are looking to try and support things as widely as possible. we are based in the UK, but we do a lot of stuff on Skype. Yeah. You know, it's 2013, 2014, and you don't physically have to be there. And so, you know, I do a lot of calls with teachers and people around the world who want to learn more about it and try and, you know, see how it works, maybe chat to us about how they might be able to use it or what they're thinking of. And that's, you know, another way of working.
Absolutely. And tell me about it. I do most of my shows on Skype, so it's definitely the way forward. Well, thank you so much. It was a fascinating look and incredible work you're doing with your education program. So really something to look out for. And of course, I'd encourage listeners that are involved in, I know there's a lot of listeners that are involved with Nord of Robins, for example, as the preferred charity for the music industry. And if they are interested in this kind of thing, they definitely have to get in touch with you guys. The website is skoogmusic.com. And you can also search for the Skoog on the Apple Store. Not in the US at the moment, but definitely in Europe and the Middle East. You can search for the Skoog on the Apple Store, and you can find more info right there as well, which is definitely a very easy way for people to find out about it.
Yeah. So shall I play you out with a little tune?
Absolutely.
But this is some nice stuff we've done by a friend of ours, Vecino.
Awesome.
We'll set the key. It's in A minor.
Awesome. Thank you. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Benjamin, for your time. It's a real pleasure talking to you. And once again, it's skoogmusic.com. Go and check it out. It's really cool. And if you are listening to the audio version of the show, you're missing out this week because we did a lot of very cool stuff on the video side. So definitely go and check out the video or go on skoogmusic.com and check out some of the videos that they have on the site. Thanks again, Benjamin.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening. The DMT One-to-One comes out every week. And if you like this show, you can also check out Digital Music Trends, a weekly news show on the music tech industry of the week. This is all on digitalmusictrends.com. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. And until next time.